Good morning. A blessing to be with you all this morning. Appreciated the enthusiastic singing, the hearts of worship felt this morning. Appreciated what's been shared already. I have a few thoughts on my heart this morning. Pray that in some way we could bring some glory to God and draw our hearts closer to Him. Do you feel blessed this morning? If not, why not? If this morning, if you woke up with more health than illness, you are more blessed than 6 million people who will not survive this week. If you have never experienced the danger of battle, the loneliness of imprisonment, the agony of torture, or the pangs of starvation, you are ahead of 500 million people in this world. If you can attend a church meeting without fear of harassment, arrest, torture, or death, you are more blessed than 3 billion people in this world. If you have food in the refrigerator, clothes on your back, a roof overhead, and a place to sleep, you are richer than 75% of this world. If you have money in the bank, in your wallet, and spare change in a dish somewhere, you are among the top 8% of the world's wealthy. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Yes, Father in heaven, we come before you this morning, Lord, with thankful hearts, Lord. We want to worship you this morning in spirit and in truth, Father. Lord, we want to bless your holy name this morning. We want to bring you honor and glory. We want to lift your name above all names this morning, Father, because you are worthy. You are deserving, Father, and we just want to bring you glory, do your name this morning. Father, I pray that you would help us to realize what a blessed people we are. Lord, would you help us to seek your face, Father, as we think of these things, Father, and to pray that we could just take another step closer to you this morning, Father. Lord, would you just fill this place with your presence? Just pray that I could share as you would have me to, Father, that you would be glorified. We just worship you and we praise you. In your precious name we pray. Amen. So we all know that we're a blessed people. It's no surprise. We've been told over and over. We acknowledge it from time to time. But what is our response to these things, and how are we living our lives? Are we living our lives as a blessed people this morning? It's a few things I want to look at this morning. I want to look at some responses to some of the blessings we have and how we can use those to bless others. In my experience and observation, one of the greatest limitations or releasers, you could say, or I'm not sure what the right word is there, in life is our attitude. And our attitude towards the things that we've been given, the responsibilities we've been given, the blessings we've been given, I think are one of the most important aspects of life in terms of determining our effectiveness and the blessing to those around us outside of our faith in Christ Jesus, our decision to follow Jesus. Someone has rightly said that attitude, not aptitude, or not our skills, determines our altitude in life. So what's our response to these things? So we have all these things. We have all the physical blessings. The first thing our minds go to automatically, probably, at least mine does, is contentment. And that's a big part of it. So we're going to look at a few things here in contentment. Another question I would have to ask ourselves is, so we have all these physical blessings, these physical, we consider them blessings, but what fulfillment do they really bring to our lives? Is there really any fulfillment in those things and of themselves? I believe that there can be if we are using them to God's glory, if we are finding our place. I'd like to turn to Philippians 4, 10 to 13. Read a few verses there. Philippians 4, 10 through 13. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye also were careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am struck to both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Very common verses, contentment, right? We're supposed to be content. What's that look like? Does that mean we just kind of settle back and decide we don't need the next new gadget or the next thing, or that we don't, maybe our income is enough or whatever. Is that what it means? I don't really think so. I'd like to back up to chapter 3, verse 12, where Paul is talking. Contentment does not necessarily equal complacency. It actually equals a holy ambition. And what is this? If we read chapter 3, verse 12, Paul says, not as though I already attained, either already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend for that which I also am apprehended of Christ. He says he has not obtained this. And before he talks about contentment, but it's the contentment follows this. He has not attained these things that he continues to talk about. He has not necessarily attained, but he has learned to be content, and he's growing in that. And if we back up a little bit farther, two verses prior to that, verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Paul has just got done talking there about all the things that he had, all his blessings in life. Maybe we should read that. I'm not going to take the time this morning. He was an Israelite, circumcised the eighth day, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was a Pharisee. He was zealous. He was persecuting the church to the best of his knowledge. He was blessed physically. He was blessed in all these different ways in his paradigm. And he says here, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, is the most important thing. And that's what brings us to contentment. If we can know those things and be made conformable to his death. The contented Christian is the one who knows Christ but has the restless pursuit. We're actively pursuing knowing him more. It's not, we can talk about contentment and be content with the things that we have physically, but it's not a contentment in our spiritual life to where we're not pressing on and pursuing. Paul wants to know the power of Christ in his ministry, to share the suffering of Christ that comes to his servants, and to become like Christ in his death, dying to self and living the life of selfless servanthood. Are we doing that in our lives this morning as we seek to serve others with our blessings? Let's face it, we have a lot of pressure around us. The world presses in, numbing us to the blessings that we have, numbing us to the ways that we're blessed. I don't deserve to be born into a godly home. I don't deserve to live in a relatively stable and secure country of the United States. I don't deserve to have good health. I don't deserve God's love for me. I could go on and on with the blessings I have, but I did nothing for these things. And when we start taking them upon ourselves, we start wanting more, and we start creating that level of discontentment. We get to where we feel like we deserve to be comfortable. We deserve to have what we want, to get what we want now. We have Amazon Prime. We have all these things that's instant. The main point of today's advertisements is to create a desire for more. Where are we at in this thing of contentment? I'd like to turn over to Psalm 67 and look at a few verses there. The whole psalm, actually, it's a few verses long. Another response to this thing of blessings, how we can rightly respond to the blessings we have, I think is the underlying basis of contentment, and where we can go with, or how we can achieve contentment, is here in Psalm 67. I'll go ahead and read the whole chapter. It's seven verses here. God, be merciful unto us and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us. That thy way be made known upon the earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let thy people praise thee, O God, and let all the people praise thee. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon the earth. Let the people praise thee, O God, let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Verse 1 there I'd like to look at. God, be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. Are we seeking to encounter God, or are we hiding our faces? This first verse here is a shortened version of where God talks to Moses It's the where he talks to Moses, telling Moses to talk to Aaron. The benediction there he gives. I'll just go ahead and read it here short, briefly. We won't need to turn to it for the sake of time. Thus shall you bless the people of Israel, and thou shalt say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you, and the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them. If we look at that phrase there, the Lord make his face to shine upon us. We sung about that this morning. Show me thy face, one transient gleam. We think about Moses that wrote this. David borrowed this from Moses, I believe. Moses was a man who encountered God in many different ways in his life. We can think of the burning bush where God first encountered him, where he had his first encounter with God. He dealt with God very directly with the plagues of Egypt. He was up Mount Sinai different times in the presence of God. Moses had experienced much of God's presence. Then it talks in another account of in Exodus 33. He says, Lord, I want to see your glory. I want to see your face. And God says, no, you can't handle my face. You cannot handle it. I'll put my hand over you, and I'll pass by, and you go in the cleft of the rock, and we'll pass by, and you can get a glimpse of me, but not my face. Today, under the new law, we can be washed clean. We can be made pure. We have that blessing to be able to come before God in that way, that we can seek his face this morning. But are we seeking that privilege this morning? Are we seeking his face? Are we seeking that encounter with God? Are we seeking his grace and blessing? Are we spending time in prayer, which I think is one way that we can encounter the face of God most clearly, and then also studying his word? When Moses came down from the mountain from receiving the Ten Commandments, he came down, he had to put a veil over his face because the people could not handle the reflection of God on his face. He had been with God directly. He had encountered God. And nobody could look at Moses and say, you've not been with God. There was undeniable evidence there that Moses had been with God. And how is that in our lives today? Or do we have that undeniable evidence that we've been spending time with God? Are we taking these blessings that we've been given and giving them to the and passing them on? Are we living in a way that people can tell that we've encountered God? If we do, we're going to find that people will look at us and be able to see who God is. We know that God is light. Moving on there, verse 2. Maybe we can ask, why do we ask a blessing from God? Why do we ask for his face to shine upon us when we have so many blessings? And it says there, verse 2, it says, that thy way be made known among all the nations upon the earth, that thy way be made known upon all the earth. And I think that's the real reason that we've been given some of the responsibility we have. We've been put in a position to where we can broadcast his name to those around us, and in a way that we can bless those around us and pass that on. The goal of our life here is to spread these blessings, spread this to others around us. If we go on here, there's three things here in the following verses that God wants to be made known to the way around, to those around. Verse 2 there, thy saving health among all the nations, or his saving power, his saving cleansing, his saving, that he is the Savior. The second thing is there is, verse 4, is his justice. Thou shalt judge the people righteously. And lastly there, the third one is and govern the nations upon all the earth. He is victorious. He reigns over all things, and he has everything in his control. An interesting thing about these three attributes is that God wants us to show to the world around us through our lives is These are all three things that the world is desperately looking for. Every 4 years, the United States comes to a place where they're looking for a leader that has this stable reign, that has justice, that knows how to judge righteously, that has a stable and victorious reign, that has control of things. We all know that in man we can't find that, but that is what the world is looking for. That's what the world is looking for. But how are we showing that to around us? These attributes of God we can put on display. We can show to the world around us by the way that we live and the way that we talk. How are we loving our brother? Are we loving our brother the way that God loves us? How are we doing our business dealings with the world around us and with our brothers? Are we trying to get the best deal, or are we being generous? How is the righteousness of our lives? How is the words that we speak, the communications from our mouth? The list could go on and on. Moving on there to verses 5 through 7. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. And God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Are we trying to actively bless those around us? Are we trying to actively bring praise to God? Are we ashamed to bring the glory to God and say, because of God that I have these things, or because of God that I have this power above sin, and because of God, are we bringing him glory as we should? So I want to look at another response that I think is obviously the things I was just talking about is the basis for this, the relationship with God, the understanding of who God is. I'd like to read Psalm 103. And I'm not going to expound on it just a lot here. I'm going to let it just speak for itself. It talks about blessing the Lord, the benefits of the Lord, blessing the Lord. And the word bless there, I looked up the definition of the word bless in Psalm 103 here, and it's basically an act of adoration. So we could in our language, in the way we relate today, we could say, we could be praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, and bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget all his benefits. So as we read through that, you can think of that as we praise. And I think praising the Lord is one response, and is another response that we can have as an attitude, a heart attitude toward God for all the blessings that he has bestowed upon us. Psalm 103, I'll just read it here. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who hath forgiven all thine iniquities? Who healeth thy diseases? Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles? The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made his ways known unto Moses, and his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, and remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass. As a flower in the field, so he flourisheth. But the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting unto them that fear him, and his righteousness unto his children's children. To such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. I'm not going to expound on that a lot. I think that psalm speaks for itself, expounding on the blessings of God. There was a whole list more of blessings there than what I listed off. God's loving kindness to us, his mercy toward us. And if we think about the blessings of God, we could go on and on for a long time. But we know these things, but what are we doing with them, I guess is my challenge. Another response to these blessings is a heart of thankfulness. This is my last point here. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, Paul is talking again here. He says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of Christ Jesus concerning you." We as American people can tend to be very unthankful people. At least I can in my heart, much as I don't like to admit it. I found this, I'll read something here that I found, ran across some time ago, and just puts a little different perspective on some of the things that we commonly are unthankful for. It says here, "I am thankful for the taxes I pay because it means I am employed. Needing to perform the repairs on my car because I have a car unlike most people in the world. My shadow who watches me work because I'm out in the sunshine. A lawn that needs mowing, windows that need cleaning, gutters that need fixing because it means that I have a home. The spot I find at the far end of the parking lot because it means I'm capable of walking. My huge heating bill because it means I am warm. All the complaining I hear about our government because it means we have freedom of speech. The person who's behind me in church who sings off key because it means that I can hear. The piles of laundry and ironing because it means my loved ones are nearby. The alarm that goes off in the early morning hours because it means that I'm alive. The weariness and aching muscles at the end of the day because it means that I have been productive." Do we view those things that way? I don't very often. Not as much as I should. The art of thanksgiving, it is gratitude in action. It is thanking God for the gift of life by living triumphantly in victory. It is thanking God for your talents and abilities by accepting them as obligations invested for the glory of God. It is thanking God for all that people have done for you by doing things for others. It is thanking God for happiness by striving to make others happy. It is thanking God for beauty by helping to make the world more beautiful. It is thanking God for inspiration by trying to be an inspiration to others. And you notice all those things I just listed off, that last list of things, was all others-based. It was facing out, trying to see how we can bless others and make others more, improve others' quality of life. And I think that's where our heart of thankfulness can come from. I'm blessed. I have many things that I don't deserve. But what am I doing with them? Am I being thankful by blessing others? Are we a thankful people? Are we actively trying to bless those around us with the blessings given to us? Or are we constantly seeking, or are we constantly seeking more, or are we happy and content with how God has blessed us in a physical sense? Are we seeking the blessing of God in our lives spiritually? Are we seeking His face? Are we seeking His presence? Because that is what the only way that we can achieve these things and we can have the power to live above them. We are responsible people with our knowledge and blessings. May God find us faithful.